Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. It has now been 50 years since the U.S. Surgeon General issued the first report about the dangers of smoking. Pam Siemens with the North Carolina Alliance for Health joins us now to talk about how far North Carolina has come in the battle against tobacco use and improving public health overall. Pam, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's talk about the 50th anniversary of the Surgeon General's report and a new report that came out since then. Overall, what are your reflections first before we get to the details about 50 years ago that finally hearing from a government official that tobacco use is bad for you?
Well, 50 years ago, it feels like a long time ago, and so much has happened since then, and we've made a lot of progress, I think, toward reducing the use of tobacco over those 50 years, but I think overall is that we still have a lot more work to do. But certainly, the release of this newest Surgeon General's report is very significant as well. Even 50 years later, we are still learning that there are more diseases caused by smoking and tobacco use, and therefore greater costs. For medical expenses alone in North Carolina have now gone, the previous estimate was $2.4 billion annually, and now that estimated cost has risen to $3.8 billion in North Carolina alone annually, costs due to smoking-related illness.
You know, it's been 50 years since the report, but it's been a lot shorter amount of time since then that we sort of had a, for the most part, a consensus among policymakers, even tobacco company themselves with the settlement. All that seems still relatively recent.
Yes. You know, it wasn't until 2001 that any legislator even began to hint at maybe having an interest in raising our cigarette tax here in North Carolina. And that's when I first started hearing a lot about it. And from there, you know, once the discussion began, it was clearly an uphill battle, and it took us 3 or 4 years to really educate enough to even get a small increase in North Carolina's cigarette tax back then in 2005. I agree with you. I believe that the discussion really probably began, you know, over 12 years ago when the agreement came about that we probably needed to, you know, look at this even in North Carolina as a tobacco-producing state. And I would say, you know, we saw lots of movement across the country prior to North Carolina and other tobacco-producing states. But North Carolina, as a tobacco-producing state, I think has gone a bit more slowly in their efforts to reduce and tackle tobacco. But at the same time, we've also been a bit more progressive when you compare ourselves to other states in the South.
It's also worth, I think, and I want to ask you about a couple of the statistics in the report, but to reflect on the ban of smoking in bars and restaurants, which at the time seemed, and I know, was so difficult to pass and so controversial. But I don't hear many people complaining about it these days.
It's one of the most popular laws. In fact, we did a poll in mid-2012 which showed that 83% of the public loves this law, and it crosses party lines. We have seen very high compliance rates in it, with this law, which indicates also how popular it is. Even smokers like this law. So we are working hard to keep this law strong. And I will say, just in reflecting, you know, it was back in 2005 when any bill was first introduced in the General Assembly to limit smoking. The first bill that was introduced was restaurants and bars only. And then from there, we worked to make all work sites and public places smoke-free. But ultimately, in 2009, it was a restaurant and bar law that was passed. But, you know, it took many baby steps to get there. Initially, we worked to make the General Assembly chambers smoke-free, and then we worked to make all of the buildings of the General Assembly complex smoke-free, and then we went and made work to make all state government buildings smoke-free and the motor fleets. And so it was step by step. And once, you know, we had were able to say, well, the General Assembly members, you all are in a smoke-free environment. What about everybody else? Everybody else deserves the same protection from exposure to secondhand smoke.
Looking at the Surgeon General's report or the summary of it, it's interesting to still note that smoking remains the single largest cause of preventable disease and death, even now, 50 years after we knew the damage it was doing.
Yes, I think that's what's so striking about this report, is that this is all preventable. And when you look at the costs associated with the use of tobacco, it's staggering. But you also have to bear in mind that there's a big industry behind this, creating more addictive nicotine delivery systems, you know, through cigarettes and other tobacco products. And many states are not spending the money that they have been given from the Master Settlement Agreement on preventing tobacco use. You know, the money's not being spent, and so the rates are staying higher than they need to. And I think that's the point of the Surgeon General's report, is it's really a call to action.
Where do we go from here? You've already mentioned a couple things earlier, that the tobacco tax, I know that you'd like to see that increase, more money spent from the tobacco settlement on prevention and cessation. Are there other things that we should be doing?
There are really three major things that the CDC says need to be done to attack this problem, and that is to keep the cost of tobacco products high, which is raising cigarette taxes, making as many places as possible smoke-free, and by adequately funding the tobacco prevention and cessation programs. So here in North Carolina, our tax is now at 45 cents. We're the fifth lowest in the country. The Alliance, my organization, the North Carolina Alliance for Health, would like to see our tax raised by at least a dollar to get our tax to the national average. And that seems reasonable. It would put us right in the middle of the pack of all the states, and it would bring in about $380 million. We know that our elected officials are looking for resources to pay teachers and state employees more. That would be one option. As far as the smoke-free law, you know, yes, we had a huge step forward on January 2nd, 2010, when the smoke-free restaurants and bar law was implemented, but there still remain many work sites that do allow smoking. We did restore local control so that local governments could make their local government buildings smoke-free and other outside public places. However, not every local government has used that authority and made their government buildings smoke-free, so we have room to progress there. Finally, with the tobacco prevention and cessation funding, we have really gone backwards in North Carolina, I'm sorry to say. Over the past several years, we've seen routine cutting of the youth tobacco prevention programs, such that last year they were zeroed out. So we are now spending nothing in North Carolina on youth prevention programs. On the cessation side, the state still puts in $1.2 million for the Quitline NC. But that only reaches about 1 to 1.5% of the smokers who really want to quit. So there's room for improvement there as well. But I think that our youth smoking rates peaked in 1997. And through the efforts of the Tobacco Reality Unfiltered and many other local programs, they were able to cut that youth smoking rate in half, such that our youth smoking rates were the lowest youth smoking rates in our state's history. Now we have no programs. What we've seen in other states that have cut their programs, we've seen those youth smoking rates go back up. So we are worried that we're going to lose the gains that we have made. And I think it's also important for people to understand, you know, we hear a lot, and people say, well, who doesn't know that smoking is harmful for you? You know, here's yet another Surgeon General's report that shows more diseases are caused by smoking. But the fact of the matter is, in North Carolina, we have 100,000 new sixth graders entering middle school every year that really don't know. Not every young person is taught in their home that smoking is bad for you. In fact, many of them are exposed to smoking and secondhand smoke in their own homes. So it's really important, the peer education and the local component of the youth tobacco prevention programs. And unfortunately, we've lost that. So my organization, the Alliance, we will be working to try to restore that here in the coming short session. And that's an overview of the things that we need to do.
Pam, thanks for all you've been doing for a long time. And we appreciate you being with us this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Chris.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.